A very good morning to you, Namibian. Good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome to Eagle FM. And if you're just joining us, you know, you are tuned into Eagle FM. So, how was your weekend? And how did your weekend go? Hopefully you had a rest, you have rested enough. And also ready to face the new week. It's the last week of the month. So, and yeah, you should be ready to take on this week again. And remember, as I always said, you know, we need to, it's our responsibility. Nobody's going to build our country. Nobody's going to, you know, we have to build our country. And, you know, we can only do it with that commitment. And also with really with sound mind. And that's why I'm asking, how was your weekend? Did you rest it enough? Did you get enough boomer now for you to take on the week? So welcome, welcome. This is Eagle FM and this is an Unpacking the Day. So my name is Mike Oshoveli and this is your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always, always asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying, then spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of eight. I'll be with you until 10 o'clock when we hand over to Tate France. Tate France coming with Kutha Mosha at around 10 o'clock. And we're coming to you direct and live from the Ondangwa studio. So make sure that when you come through, we are on this side, in the great region of Oshana. The mighty region of Oshana. All right. So good morning and welcome. As usually, today is the 24th of the 11th month. So what happened on this day in Africa? So that's our first segment. Just go through a quick history, any event, that significant event that happened on this day in Africa. We just go quick run through some of the notable event that happened on the 24th of November. First up, in 1965, General Joseph Désiré Mobutu, seized power in the Republic of the Congo. Then it was actually Leopoldville in a coup that set the stage for his long rule. So, and 10 years earlier, on the 24th of November 1958, a political federation known as the French West Africa came to an end as colonies moved towards autonomy and independence within the changing French system. A dramatic rescue happened on this day in 1964. A Belgian paratroopers staged Operation Dragon Rouge and helped free many foreign hostages held by Simba rebels in Stanleyville, now Kisangani in DRC. The operation remained one of the most talked about episodes of the Congo crisis. One of the great finds in the Paleoanthropology was made on the 24th November 1974, the discovery of Lucy, an Australopithecus pharynx's skeleton at Hadar in Egypt, in Ethiopia. So that partial skeleton changed how scientists actually think about early human evolution. And more recently, on the 24th of November 2017, a deadly attack struck the Al-Rawada, the mosque, Al-Rawada Mosque in northern Sinai, Egypt, one of the deadliest terrorist attacks in modern Egyptian history. And also in 2017, Emmerson Mnangagwa was sworn in as the president of Zimbabwe after Robert Mugabe resigned, making a major leadership change for that country. So that's the roundup for the 24th November on this day in Africa. So our time is 7 minutes past 8. And if you're just joining us, you're welcome. Thanks for joining us on this Monday morning. So mine is always not blue. If your Monday is blue, well, that means you're not working. And that means you are. All right. So what is our thought for the day this morning? What is our thought for the day? One who eats alone cannot discuss the taste of the food. Now, on a literal level, the proverb says that if you eat by yourself, there's no one else to talk to. There's no one else to talk with about how the food tastes. But metaphorically, it means that important experience, like food, okay, like meals. So important experience are richer when shared. So when they are shared, they are much richer. So it emphasizes community and fellowship. By sharing with others, you build relationships, create memories, and deepen also a trust among yourself. Now, the proverb warns against isolation. You know, eating alone might mean missing out on the joy, insight, and communal bond that comes with sharing. So, now, in a world where people are often busy, disconnected, or eating on the go, like most of us, this proverb is a powerful reminder of the value of slowing down and sharing. So, and it can apply beyond food. Think of achievement, ideas, struggles. Sharing them invite conversation, invite feedback, invite deep relationships. So our thought for the day, one who eats alone cannot discuss the taste of the food. So hopefully in your discussion, in your decision today, in your choices that you make, so you choose to eat with others, which mean to actually share, you know, as the proverb reminds us that it's powerful, it's a powerful reminder of the value of slowing down and sharing. So let's do that in our choices and decision that we make today. Good morning to you and welcome. This is Unpacking the Day. So what do we expect today in our program, in our show this morning? Very interesting, some interesting story from the Observer, Windhoek Observer. Bernard Swartboy claimed that LPM members are being persecuted. And you know what he does? He went to the top to ask for help. So he wanted to go to the top to ask for help. That's to Donald Trump. So we're going to look into that. So the president was also, over the weekend, was also at the G20. And he said, well, we need a fair and transparent international institutions. So we're also going to look at what the president have said over the weekend at G20. So And that is also a story in our in the villages today by Matthias Hangala. So we're going to look at that, and of course your participation will also be part of the show. So you most welcome to come through and have your view and share your views and your perspective and your contribution as well. So that's what we have for you, and make sure you are part of Unpacking the Day. So we will be back after this minute.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafata na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moya wo ota ingongotitha mwene anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende pimeleha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa zetu Moambo, dengera selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oaniyaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM. Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Well, that's right. This is your number one talk radio station in the land of the brave. And thanks for joining us. Our time is about 13 minutes past the hour of 8. Good morning to you and welcome to Unpacking the Day here on Eagle FM. And, well, we have quite a story to unpack, you know. The leader of the Landless People's Movement, and the serious stories as well. It's quite a story to unpack, and a very serious, serious stories as well. So the leader of the Landless People Movement, Bernard Swartboy, say he is going straight to the top. Okay? Not here in Windhoek, not in the African Union, but to the US President Donald Trump to ask for help. Why? Why he want to go to Trump? Because he claims that LPM members are being persecuted. That certain communities of Herero, Damaras, Basto, and white Namibians are living in fear. And that Namibia's security forces are acting like an occupying army. So, that's a story in the Windhoek Observer. Now, this comes after an incident. Now, there's a background to this. All right? So, and we will talk about that after this.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Yes, the U in UNAM is definitely you. All right, so welcome back. So we're talking about the leader of the Landless People Movement, Bernard Swartboy. So, who is decided to go on top, straight to the top. All right, he decided to go to a U.S. president to ask for help. What help is he going? What is help? What kind of help is he looking for? He's claiming that the LPM members are being persecuted. So, and he talks about communities like the Bahereros, the Damaras, the Bastels, and the white Namibians. So he said they are living in fears. They are living in fear, and that the Namibian security forces are acting like an occupying army. So this comes after an incident in Kermanshop involving the auntie. This is according to the stories, in the Windigo Observer. So it comes after an incident in Kermanshop involving the Anti-Corruption Commission and two regional councillors. Now, plus ongoing dispute about the LPM's participation in local elections. Swartbo says it all part of a targeted campaign against his party. This is all part of the targeted campaign against his own party. But before we get into this, deeper into this, but is this really? Now, the question maybe that we need to unpack is this really persecution? Is it politics? Is it a legal matter? Maybe there are some aspects that are legal matters. Or maybe it's three of those. Okay? So this morning, we're going to unpack this. And we're going to unpack the facts, the context, the law, and the deeper question we as Namibian need to ask. All right? So about democracy, about the situation. Now, let's give it a background. Let's give it a background and a context before we get into that. Now, first off, we understand in Namibia, the political party enjoy protection under the constitution. Okay? So, we have to understand that, under the constitution, political party enjoy protection. Okay? All right. So,
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo, Chicago Safasana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaimbo Gotisamwini, Anagishifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Saisanina, Omaguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Ikelefe Media House, Way 23 Memeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Para un cuasi para aquí, huimos por yo mo programa de tu. Moambo, lengera selma, honoras de tatuimu. Datundatu, geari jamano tano, o aliach. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Welcome back. All right. Okay. We were looking at that story of Mr. Swartboy. We're not going to go into that for now. We're not going to go into that story because of some information that has been, related to me. All right. So, yeah, for now, we're going to park that one. Okay. So because of some information that has been related to me. So we're going to park that one for now. So let's get to our second story. Okay. So, over the weekend, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwa spoke at just concluded a G20 summit in Johannesburg. So the first ever G20 leader summit to be held on African soil. Now, she called for a fair a more transparent international lending institution. Now, arguing that the way global finance is currently set up is hurting developing countries like Namibia. So the argument is simple. So the argument, our president's argument is quite simple. If lending institutions treat African nation as a higher risk, so because we are treated as a higher risk borrower. So if the lending institution treat African nation as a higher risk borrower, no matter what we do, no matter what we do, we will forever be paying more than others. You understand? So that's what the president said. It doesn't matter what we do. We will be paying more than others. And that means our debt burden grows. Our development slows. So as our debt burden grows, then our development slows and our chances to compete globally also shrink. Eh? So that's the implication our president actually put forward to say, look, as long as you treat us as a higher risk borrowers, no matter what we do, we will be forever paying more than others. And that is not fair. Okay? Is that fair? And that is also not transparent when it comes now to international lending institution. So, what do you think? What do you think our president, you know, what do you think what our president says? So, but behind that statement lies bigger conversation. So, this is unpacking the day. So behind that, there's actually lies a bigger conversation. One about debt. So there's also one about debt, one about financial power, one about global governance, and whether the rules of the game are stuck against us as African or developing countries before even step on the field. So are the rules stuck against us before we even step on the field? So there are so many behind what the president stated. Now, the G20, it's not a coffee club for president, okay? It's not a coffee club for president who need to come together and have a coffee together and all that. No, it's a heavyweight forum. It's a heavyweight forum bringing together the biggest economies in the world. So 19 sovereign countries plus the European Union and the African Union as the members as well. Now, the influence how global finance, this whole G20 influences how global finance works, how trade flows, how climate policies are shaped, and critically and crucially for us as well, how, as the president was saying, how lending institutions behave, you know, towards us. So it was a very crucial moment. It was a crucial forum. And it was that it happened. It took place in Africa, which we should make use of that platform to have our voice heard. Because when it takes place somewhere else, we are not even on the agenda. So it was a very good platform for developing countries Global South to have their voice heard, especially when it comes to debt. So that was on the agenda. So why should we probably, you know, care about this more? Why would we, you know, as Namibian, care? Why would we really bother about this? So we're talking about lending institutions, the MIF, the World Bank, and other various credit rating agencies, they're all there, you know, because of those lending institutions, you know, these lending institutions, they directly affect the interest rate we pay when we're borrowing money internationally. So if we in any way can have our foot in that, can we actually put our foot in that, so that we should be able to do. If our voice can be heard, you know, we should be able to voice it. So, yeah, that's why. Because there are these institutions which are the ones that are affecting, who affect actually interest rate that we pay when we're borrowing from these institutions. Now, according to one data organization, the Africa's External Debt Stand, the Africa External Debt Stand at about $685.5 billion, external debt for Africa. And 20 low-income countries are on the brink, according to that one data organization, are on the brink of debt distress. Now, debt distress means they are struggling to repay and they risk actually defaulting. So we could be, you know, we could be on the same trajectory. So this forum are very important, and I think discussion around issues that were on the table are very, 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 very important. Now, for us, for Namibia, then, even though we just paid off that massive $750 million, you know, the euro bond without a hitch, you know, which actually proof of financial or physical discipline. You see, we paid this off without a hitch, honestly, without a hitch. And which shows now to this institution, I'm talking about the lending institution, which shows that Namibia has, it's a proof that we have a financial discipline. But we're still labeled a higher risk. And this is exactly what the president says. It doesn't matter what we do. We are still labeled as a higher risk. It's like paying your bill on time, but still being told your credit score is poor because of the neighborhood you are living in. You know? Yeah, it's exactly the same. You're being judged depending on where you live. You pay your bill on time and as it required, but you are told your credit score is poor. Why it's poor? Because of your neighborhood you live in. We'll come back. Stay tuned.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. And I would definitely, you know, attest to that. Attest to Imba. That's a product that you should have. That's an app that you should have, because it will come in handy. I can tell you that. I can attest to that. So, and especially when umafimbo manene ilakucho matango manene ripopepi. So make sure that you have that. You have that during your festive seasons, because you will need it. I can tell you that you will need it. Unless you're really, you know, someone who doesn't go to church or never attend funerals or something like that. So, yeah, have your app, have your Imba right in the palm of your hands. So make sure that you download that. Okay, let's get back to what the president was saying. So, and please make sure that you subscribe to the Villager, because This is a story in today's edition of the Villager. Make sure that you subscribe to the Villager so that you can read this story by yourself. All right. So in the story by Matthias Hangala. I was saying, just confirming what the president actually, the point of the president, to say, no matter what we do, we will be still labeled as a higher risk. And that's not because of what we do ourselves. It's because of just where, just from the neighborhood where we live. It's actually where we live. You know, as I just give an example that you can pay your bills, like we pay our 750 million euro bond, without, you know, showing that we have actually financial discipline in Namibia. So, but my friend, where are you? You are still a high risk. Why? Because of where you are, you know, because of where you are, because your neighborhood you live in, it's what determines, you know, whether you are a higher risk or not. Now, and that's the reality. That's the reality of many African countries. So the global finance is influenced not always by facts, but by perception. So it's a perception, not actually facts. So, and that's why we, Africa also looking at having their own agency, rating agency, that would understand the situation and the reality of African countries. And that would maybe help to feed now institutions like IMF, the IMF and the World Bank. So, yeah, but we talk too much. There should be time when this actually come into place. So maybe something instead of now talking about the MIF and the IMF and the World Bank, maybe let's put this in place and said, hey guys, now we have agency that now understand that would give you better, that would give you better data for you to understand each country better and rate us accordingly. Okay. So, because at the moment, we are just lumped into the same box because we are from the same global south. All right. So, yeah. And as I said, this is not done. The global finance is influenced not by facts, okay, of a specific country, but by perceptions. So, and this is what our president is saying. No matter what we do, it doesn't change how you do things. So, but what can be debated is that these international lenders use, okay, risk assessment. I can use that word. Okay. Risk assessment models. Okay. They use a risk assessment model to determine how safe it is to lend to a country. All right. Whether now are those risk assessment, are they factual or still based on the perception? So this is also what the bank does anyway. Now, but the issue is that those models, you know, those risk assessment models often rely on historic data and broad continental stereotypes. You understand? It doesn't really based on the facts of the specific country. It's actually based on, it rely on historic data and broader continental stereotype rather than the current performance. So if we look at Namibia now at the current performance, we shouldn't be where we are. As I said, Namibia has a stable democracy. If we look at where we are, we have a stable democracy, adherence to rule of law and our constitution. We do that. We have a fiscal policy guided by framework like Vision 2030 and NDP6. So where we are, so at the current performance, it doesn't look at our current performance, it looks at the historical data and broader continental stereotype, as I said. So, So we have met obligation under the Public Finance Manage Act, for example. We are not perfect, of course. Our country is not perfect, of course. But yes, our debt to GDP ratio has gone up to around 69% in recent years. But default, you know, that is not our track record. Okay, that's not our track record. So, let's see. Someone is knocking on my door. Very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good.
Mm.
The speech.
You sound very angry.
No. I said the speech at G20.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was one of the speeches that had the no fear or favor, but yeah. Spoken the truth.
Exactly.
If you have never heard about the truth in life, that was the truth in the environment where people are scared to speak.
Yeah.
Yes. The president did very well.
Yeah. No, it's true.
He said it the way it should be said.
Yeah.
You see, you shouldn't classify people based on what you think.
Mm. Based on perception and old data, actually, historic data.
Exactly, because perception is what you think.
Yeah.
It's not what is happening.
Mm.
Is it? It's a perception. So, because the president does not perceive the person who is mistreating Africans as a helper.
Yeah.
Yes. She looks at the person, look, here you are mistreating me. In as much as I want to do business with you, but you are not willing to listen to or see the situation the way it should be seen. You are seeing it with another vision,
yeah,
or whatever vision, how you look at it.
Yeah.
Because how do you classify everybody while you put almost everybody in the same pot? The same thing we have been taught.
Yeah.
If you look at an African person, a black person, we all are classified as. If you walk into a neighborhood where the white people, you are either you want to steal. Even when you want to ask, you are lost.
Yeah.
Even when you are lost, you want to ask. They perceive you as, this guy wants to steal.
Yeah.
You see? Yeah. So I think that one, that speech where she said, look, we are not asking for free money.
Mm.
And understand this language. We are not asking for free money, that give me things for free. No.
No.
I want to buy with my own money. But my buying, when you are, whatever you are selling me, it should be fair.
It should be fair, yeah.
Yes. Not that if I buy, I pay higher. The other colleague of who you perceive as your, who you think is your, or perceive as your friend, comes to buy, he buys it at half price.
Yeah, no, the thing is that we borrow, Namibia borrow 100 million.
Yes.
on 10 interest rates percent, and German borrowed the same money at 3% interest rates.
No, it's not even 3. Remember at the UN it was said by the Secretary General.
Mm.
European countries borrow at 0%.
Yeah.
No, it's not me.
Yeah.
You can go listen to that. Guterres was complaining.
Yeah.
Yes. It was at the UN during the COVID, is it? Why, you know, the problem is we don't do business fairly.
Mm.
Look, it was also discovered, I think in Namibia, I'm not sure if it was done.
Yeah.
The research that was conducted in South Africa, it was discovered that African people, black people, black people in South Africa,
yeah,
for whenever it's either a mortgage or cars, whatever, they pay higher than the white colleagues.
Yeah.
Yes. Same car, same price. The other person pays
it's a risk. It's what I'm saying. It's a risk assessment model that is being used.
But then the person who you are charging, I've dealt with a lot of white people. They will tell you the truth.
Yeah.
If you have seen white people who come and do this, who are doing like how do you call them? These small businesses, eh? These who fix alarms, this was go to their shops, they will tell you. Black people pay.
Yeah.
If you deal with a black person, you are guaranteed you are going to be paid. A white person, they complain.
Yeah. We're afraid of law. We are afraid of law.
Yes.
So
now, how do you say a risk assessment, by a person, when you are dealing with a white person, you will say, if I'm dealing with a black colleague, to be honest with you, you guys, you pay. You don't have a problem. White people, they start negotiating on a discount. Then they don't even pay you.
But you look at what they own. Because you know that if in a case where, you know, you are not able to pay, you have some asset that I can be able to acquire, you know. So the black person may have money to pay, but may not have asset. And if that resources, if that sources actually...
But that risk is not the right risk.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, that assessment is not the right assessment.
Yeah, that's what the bank also looking at. Yeah.
No, the banks, you see, that's what I'm saying. It's not the right assessment.
Mm.
The right assessment must be, can the guy, have the guy paid all his debt? Look, they can go to your history. Eh?
Yeah.
That since the Mike started borrowing from the bank, whatever he borrowed, he paid it in full, in line with the agreement.
Mm.
You get what I mean? So how do you assess, because I don't have what you think I should have?
In a way, when we talk about in terms of lending from this international institution, as I said, this continental stereotype where we just actually lumped into one box, actually that's not fair, and that's what the president talking. But when you're looking into, there are also where you say the kind of the bank or this institution have to protect themselves, okay? But they have to do that fairly. You understand?
Yeah, that's what we are saying.
Yeah.
Remember, the question is, it's not about, it's to do it fairly.
Yeah.
And that's what the president said.
Mm.
We are not saying do it, give us for free.
Yeah.
No. Even Burkina Faso, Traore said, don't give things for free. We don't want free things. We want to buy.
Yeah.
Yes. We have got the capacity of buying it. Now, the second thing is, if you look at the way the assessment they are done, whatever risk assessment, whatever they do, whenever African countries borrows, what is it that they attach? African countries have got more minerals than Europe.
Yeah.
And in each and every aspect, to be honest with you, they attach our natural resources. So where is the risk?
But that the mineral resources that you want to attach are not even yours.
So the
uranium, you can't attach the uranium because the uranium is not yours.
It's for who?
It's for the institution that is actually, you know, that owns it. You know, the foreign institution that own it.
No, that's what we are saying. We have normalized everything, and this is what we should start changing.
Yeah.
Is it? It's something we see what they say. Subversion is the method of infiltrating into your enemy's territory and change your enemy's perception to the extent that your enemy perceives you as a helper. Okay. So they have changed our perception, thinking this resources does not belong to us.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you are taught that the land where you are living, eh?
It's not just a perception, but it's a reality. We don't own much of these resources.
Remember, the perception now, it has been put into reality.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just a perception, it's a reality.
What Lenin says, a lie, is something like we some things, there's something we have said, we have normalized it. Let's look at tax, the effort and the labor is one individual.
Yeah.
But it has been normalized that government will come and take 40% of your money, of your labor. You get what I mean?
Yeah. Mm.
It's the same government which can come and say, no, I'll only take 5%. Is it?
Yeah.
Which it's a perception, because now the perception we have been indoctrinated with is whatever you do is not yours. You understand?
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. So even if when you are told that something, whatever, when you are living on earth, it's not you, eh? It's someone who is living on your behalf. You get it? Or you are living on someone's behalf.
Mm.
So it's a perception. And this is a perception people are trying to get out of. You know, they say colonialism went so deeper and the collective colonization is worse than that colonization where we are getting independence.
Yeah.
What Kwame Nkrumah said, you see. Because now it's a perception, because look, you have got SADC. SADC is how many countries? I think we have 14 or 15. Eh?
Yes.
All of us, we have got a belief that the minerals does not belong to us. If you go to the Japanese, what did the Japanese do over that time? If we would have said, okay, on our shores, when the Europeans come, they want to mine. We said, no, we don't want you to mine our minerals.
Yeah.
We want to see who is the owner. Is it?
Mm.
You don't want to, because according to the law of nature, this where you are staying, it's your environment, is that so?
Yeah, that is yours, yeah.
The constitution says the territorial integrity of the nation, so then you put a boundary. Eh? So if you don't allow any person to come into that, to cross that boundary, eh, illegally, unless if you legalize it. So let's have an example, you say, no, I don't have any people to cross the boundary. Eh? What will happen? The same person you thought was the powerful person will be a beggar.
Yeah.
Because now they realize that there's no way out. But the moment they realize there's a way out, what do they, how they would treat you? They'll treat you as a less human.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the whole thing. So for me, all the take what I've taken from there, it was the truth, what the president says.
Yeah. Look,
I hope Europe was listening. And I like the, was it the Finland, this president, it was for Finland. What, you know, the one who stood up who said, look, it's time to change.
Mm.
We should treat each other equally. I mean, I just forgot. Was it Netherlands or somewhere? The Netherlands, somewhere that.
Yeah.
That president, eh? If you listen to that speech, that white guy, that European guy, was honest.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's not treat people based on their color or whatever. Let's treat each other as equal partners. There's something I need from you, Tate Mike.
Mm.
There's something you need from me. Yeah. Me as your neighbor, being your neighbor, just being your neighbor, eh? There's something I need from you, which is security.
Yeah.
Also, I also need security. You need security from me. Because if I'm there, if we are two, we can fight there. Somebody is going to come against us. Is that so? If you are alone, you'll be scared.
Mm.
So neighborhood, the moment we are in the neighborhood, we protect each other.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether I know you or I don't know you.
All right.
Yes, so that's the whole thing what I'm saying. So I think the best way is let's enforce, actually this must be enforced. And also, banks, look at how the banks are treating us.
Yeah.
Let us be honest. Look at the banks, how they're treating us. Eh? Whenever African wants to come with their own car bank, destroyed immediately. But if the government of our country, I think for me, I still propose NAMPOST must be made a commercial bank.
Yeah.
Yes. So because then we put our money where our money must be, because this we know it is for Namibia, the money we are going to put in NAMPOST is going to be in Namibia.
Yeah.
The money we put in Standard Bank, FNB, Chief, they are not staying here, that money.
Mm.
Yes, they don't support, they don't promote, not even a stadium. Look at our stadiums.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's put money where the money that can be, when we put it there, the return, we develop our own.
Yeah. No, somebody just confirmed that, it was the Finnish leader actually who said what he was saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Is it?
Yeah.
He said it very well.
Mm.
And I was so proud. I think the two people I picked up there, it was that and the president of Namibia.
Yeah.
Yes, others also, they contributed, but I think they were more or less, it was general.
Yeah.
Most of the people were just talking general. You know, we like generalizing, but there were two people specific.
Exactly. All right.
And that's what I'm so proud of our president. Thank you very much.
No, definitely. He made a very great point. Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
All the best.
All right. Woo. That's got into my ear. All right. So, yeah, we're talking about, as I said, we look at the Namibia's example where we said Namibia has a stable democracy. We adhere to the rule of law and our constitutions, you know, the fiscal policy guided by, we have a framework that is guiding our fiscal policies. We, you know, and we have met obligation under the Public Finance Management Act, for example, when it comes to the the thing when it comes to those rating. And we are, and of course, as I said, any country is not perfect. Yes. And I give an example that our debt to GDP, to GDP ratio has gone up. It has gone up to around 69% in recent years. So yes, the interest rate for us remain higher than for countries with more volatile politics, you know, which could be in Europe or anywhere. Ours remain higher just simply because we are Africa. So we are African. So, and that's the bias President Nandi Ndaitwah is pointing at. Those are the bias that she was actually pointing at. Yeah. So now some say, wait, lenders need to protect themselves. As I was talking just to the callers that, well, some said, well, lenders need to protect themselves. African debt crisis in the 80s and the early 2000s were real. And that is fair. I think that's fair. And we have seen default crippled economies. Eh? We have seen that. So, but others counter, you know, if you keep charging higher interest based on outdated fears, you know, those outdated fears, those perceptions, you trap nation in a circle. You kind of trap the nation in a circle where development money is spent on repayment. Eh? We spend now our money on repayment. Do you know how much money we have spent? You know, we spend so much money in repayment instead of spending that money in schools, in road building infrastructure, or upgrading our port, and you know, so we spend it, then we spend it in more repayment of debts. So, and that's exactly what the president was highlighting and really putting out there. So the African Continental Free Trade Area is being set up, you know, is being set up to boost trade between African nations. But if countries are suffocated, so if we are suffocated by debt repayment, they can't invest in infrastructure to benefit from the trade. We cannot. Eh? So we cannot say all this, but if we are suffocated by debt repayment, there is no way we actually create infrastructure to benefit from this trade that we're talking about. And Namibia, for example, we need billions to upgrade, as I said, to upgrade maybe our port like Wavish Bay if we want to be the regional hub or regional logistics. So we need a lot of money. We need a lot of money to upgrade our Wavish Bay for regional logistics. And that requires borrowing. It requires borrowing. We might not actually find local lenders. You know, we need also external lenders. So, and that requires a lot of money. But if we are suffocated by debt repayment already, we cannot be able to do that. So the other thing, and then there is governance reform. So you also talked about governance reform. The president pointed about placing people at the heart of sustainable development. It's not just a feel-good talk, okay? She was really out. And I think, you know, she was really, you know, punching, you know? She was really punching below the belt. And so, yeah, she wasn't following the rules, you know? So she said, well, so the placing people at the heart of sustainable development is not just a feel-good talk. Eh? It's a dig at the current now. She was actually digging at the current system, which she says it is too top-bottom, controlled by Global North. Eh? It is top-bottom, and it's controlled by Global North. Eh? So yeah, she was really digging at that, at the system at the moment. If voting power in the IMF or World Bank is tilted heavily toward the US or EU economies, then African voices, even in the EU, don't carry weight, don't carry equal weight. They don't carry equal weight. And that shapes lending terms, and that shapes lending conditions. And also, even which, it's also looking at which projects can be backed, you know, backed, also which project to back. So that is, that means people in IMF, the IMF and the World Bank, the voting power in IMF is actually tilted heavily towards the US and the EU, EU economies. Then our voices really don't, even if you have IU, AU there, don't carry any weight at all. Eh? So because that will shape how the lending terms are, the conditions are, and which project can be backed. They choose where the money goes. So the question for us this morning is it time to demand a balance like our president have demanded? Is it time to demand a rebalanced financial order where Namibia's track record, our own track record, count more than continental stereotypes? So we need to kind of like our own Namibia track record count more than actually just thrown into a box, where of continental stereotypes. Or should we focus on fixing domestic economic weaknesses? Because there are weaknesses in a domestic economies in Africa. So there are weaknesses. So should we focus on fixing our domestic economic weaknesses first before even challenging the global system? So should we? Because that's a question. That's a point also that we need to take care of. We cannot just looking at, oh yeah, the MIF, the World Bank and whatever, you know, but we also need to look at our own domestic economic weaknesses. Shouldn't we fix that before we challenge the global system? And this is where it gets tricky. I think that's where it gets tricky. Because you can't separate the two. You cannot separate the two. It goes hand in hand. Okay? It goes hand in hand. We cannot just looking at now, you know, this is unfair, but our own domestic economic, you know, system, are they fair? Are they fair? Well, now let's walk through possible viewpoint, okay, in terms of this now. So the reform view, okay? Let's look at the reform view, the reform of international institution. From this meeting, it is something that is very urgent. It's something that is very urgent. Namibia and Africa, we are paying the price when we have that equal voting right and fairer. And this is what the president is talking about, fairer risk assessment, okay, and regional lending banks, okay? So at least maybe that would break the circle. So when it comes to reform, but the reform is urgent and it's good. It's good to see that there is that united voice the progress, the development, it's very slow. But if we see that there is at least a willingness, there's at least conversation, that's a start. That's honestly a start. And hopefully that, you know, slowly by slow. The other view is then, as I said, fix home first. You know, some people argue that we don't need global sympathy before we fix our own economic performance. Okay? Which is valid. It is valid. We diversify. This is something I told you. I must always come in with the word diversify. Then I have done my job. You know, diversify export beyond minerals. You know, strengthen local industries. You know, reduce government waste, because that is a disease. That is a disease. And even the finance minister is one of the way to curb the spending is actually reduce government waste. So, and these are things internally. These are now, let's fix home first. Enforce anti-corruption measures, you know, under the Anti-Corruption Act. So which, you know, in somehow for years has been only now, you know, targeting small fish. Okay. It's time to go to the bigger fish. Enforce anti-corruption measures. So that's another viewpoint, that fix home first. Okay. We can look at the global, you know, we cannot just, don't need just a global sympathy before we fixed our own economic performance. We need to fix our own economic performance. All right. So, or maybe let's look at we push both. We push for reform, but also work on our domestic house. As we said earlier on, maybe we push both. You know, use framework like the 6th National Development Plan, you know, to set measurable economic goal, as we have. So when we do borrow, we show tangible progress and reduce the perception of risk. So we show tangible progress. And in that way, then we reduce that perception of risk. But the president said, no matter what we do, we are in the same, the continental stereotype box. So we are in that box, no matter what you do. So, but we need to show tangible progress. All right. So, and I said, in that way, we definitely use the perception of risk. And I suspect most Namibian will lean towards this hybrid approach, you know, fight for fairness globally, but also keep our own books in good order. So we cannot just fight, you know, fairness globally and our books are not in order. So because even if the global rules change tomorrow, without strong domestic management, we'll still be in trouble. You understand? We'll still be in trouble. So that's we need to do. All right? So, yeah, I think the view of hybrid approach, that's where most of us probably lean towards, you know, fight for fairness globally, but also keep our book in order. Let's keep our books in order. As I said, it doesn't matter. The rule globally can change, but without strong domestic management, we'll still be in trouble. Okay? So now, let's, as I said, make sure that you subscribe to the Villager to be able to have access to stories like this. We just expanding the story in the Villager today, of President Nandin Daitwa speaking at the G20 summit in Johannesburg over the weekend. So, and if we look in terms of maybe broader implications, in terms of bigger picture, if this reform talk against, if this take it gains traction, you know, it gains momentum, you know, if it's going momentum, as we see slowly by slowly, Namibia could benefit. We could benefit in multiple ways. We could benefit lower borrowing cost, okay? So we could benefit that now, because this is very important. It is very, because in the end, we will benefit from that. Lower borrowing cost, more investment, okay? We could be able to actually develop our own infrastructure, faster infrastructure growth, and potentially more physical space for social programs, you know? So there are broader implications if this reform gain more tractions, you know? But if the world shrugs, if the world shrinks and move on, the debt crisis across Africa could worsen. It could go on. It could be worsening, and then that put us in a circle. We have seen what happened when countries lose access to capital market. So because of those restrictions and regulations, so, yeah, when that happened, projects comes to an end. Project stalls, unemployment rises, political instability often follows. So it was a very, very important forum. And we have to look at it in a serious nature. So our leaders have to balance, we have to balance diplomacy with domestic discipline. So because the truth is, the G20 listen more to those who demonstrate both a moral and practical case for why change is needed. You understand? So that, as I said, we have to balance that diplomacy with our domestic discipline if we want to be listened to. All right. So you can still come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66091 or 0833-66091. So have your say. What do you think of what our president has said?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakudo nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupikiramo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu moambo dengira selma konara hitatu imu datu ndatu heari hamano tano on the edge Eagle FM the eye.
All right. A very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, our time is about 12 minutes past the hour of 9. and we're coming to you live, you know, coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio. Our telephone number, if you want to react to the story, and you can find the full story in the Villager. All you need is just to subscribe. What you need to send is just send your name and your email address to 081-244-4144. 081-244-4144. So, and you will be receiving your digital copy of the Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, and from Johannesburg, our president sent a clear message. Okay? Global financial system need to treat Africa and Namibia in particular based on reality. All right? Based on reality, not an outdated perception. That's what our president says. She's calling for fairness. She's calling for transparency and putting people at the center of development. Okay? Strong messenger from our president. And, you know, bravo to our president. Without, you know, So that's the message. She's calling for fairness, transparency, and putting people at the center of development. So now it is up to us. It's up to us to keep the conversation alive, keep it alive in parliament, in our communities, in our economic habits, you know. So it's up to us. All right. So what do you think? What is your take? 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So you may come through. A very good morning to you.
Good morning, Tati Mike.
Good morning. How are you, man?
No, I'm fine.
All right.
So, our president.
Yes.
She's asking for fairness.
Asking for fairness, for transparency, and that we should be treated based on our reality, not on outdated perceptions.
Okay. That is now from the borrower point of view.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know where you're going with this. Okay. But let me be patient.
Yeah. No, that is from the borrower point of view.
Yeah.
Okay, just imagine somebody come to your house and they need something.
Yeah.
And you give them your condition. This is what I think. This is how I'm going to deal with you.
Yeah.
And then you are now saying you are not fair.
Hmm.
That is now from the borrower point of view. Let us flip the coin.
Yeah.
From the lender point of view, do they also have the same sentiment? Or do they also think the process is not fair?
Well, from their point of view, definitely they think the process is fair.
Okay. The process is fair because it's serving their purpose.
Mm.
Okay. This institution was established with specific objective.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why it's still on existence is because it's achieving its objective.
Okay.
I think everything is going very well from the lender point of view.
Yeah.
Now, we as borrower, we think because of the way people are, different countries are treated, an African country or Namibia is given higher rates compared to Germany and all these things.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it's time for us to understand why Germany is given a lower rate compared to us.
Yeah, basically because you are...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Have we asked ourselves, what is Germany doing that qualify them for lower rates?
Yeah.
And the moment we get the answer, we ask ourselves, can we afford to do what Germany is doing or has done?
But the other thing, the other point is that, I understand your point, but Namibia can say, why are you judging me based where I live? You know, based on my neighborhood, in my neighborhood where I live in. So I have done much, as much as Germany have done, but you're not looking at me in that way. You still actually judge me where, based on where I live. That's not fair. That's the fairness the president is talking about.
Is that all? Remember I asked a question. What qualifies Germany a lower rate?
Whatever, then, there should be a transparency. Okay, let's say, for example, they said Germany is their financial system is transparent and whatever, okay? So, and then I come to a point where I'm also showing a financial transparency. So why then you're not showing me the same treatment?
No, because we need to be honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
Because if we ask an independent, somebody who has information about what makes Germany to qualify to be treated that way,
yeah,
and put it on the table and ask us as a nation, can we also match what Germany is doing? Because we cannot demand the same treatment Germany is doing while we are not prepared to do what Germany has done or what it's doing.
But there is a risk assessment model. I think the risk assessment model is open, and us as an individual country, we can be able to look at this, what is being assessed. And having an open economy and being able to see what other countries are doing, you can say, well, but the way you're treating us is unfair because we're exactly doing exactly the same as the other country doing.
Okay. I can give you one example.
Yeah.
The contribution that Germany is making to IMF, you look at Namibian contribution, I'm speaking under correction.
Yeah.
That it seems like our contribution to IMF is always less than what we go and borrow from them.
Yeah.
Am I safe to say that?
Possibly, if we really have the figures. Yeah.
Okay. Now, let us say that is the scenario. That is the case.
Yeah.
We say I'm contributing this amount of money to IMF as my quota.
Yeah.
Which is 0.0% or 0.018% or something. If that is my contribution, and my borrowing is more than always my contribution.
Yeah.
And then you go to, you want IMF to give you favorable rate.
Okay.
And IMF is saying,
okay, just probably to support your your argument. So yes. Germany is one of the largest shareholders in the IMF. Its quota share financial commitment and is about 5.6%.
5.6.
Yeah.
America is 17.17%. Yes. Now,
so through its quota payment participation in IMF credit lines, so German provide a substantial funding. Okay. Yeah.
Now we are going somewhere. Now you have this. We put money together.
Yeah.
Okay. We pull money together. I bring millions, if not billions. You brought 1 million.
Yeah.
And then you want to borrow 10 million, which we can. But the risk of us borrowing you 10 million, remember, your contribution is only 1 million.
Yeah.
If you default, yes, we can take that contribution that you put, you know, whatever we can, because we never say that it look like, it, I'm not saying that's how it's being treated. Yeah. We can say, okay, you contributed 1, you take 10, now you can't pay. Okay, then we can forfeit that 1 million. Then I just say if that is what is worth.
You see, okay, Namibia's MIF quota is SDR 190 million.
Yeah, when you compare, when they compare it, I think it's 70 million. How much is the million when you compare to the dollars?
But just in terms of percentage, then okay, with a quarter of that, Namibia hold approximately 0.04% of the IMF total quota. Yeah.
So it's not just the issue of the risk assessment of the risk. You cannot treat Germany bringing that billions of dollars to the funds the same way you are treating Namibia, because remember, the Germany contribution, he's already contributing a lot. And that is a preference that you give. And it's applicable all wherever you go, you find yourself. If you have a project and you contributed a lot of money and the other one contributed less, so your treatment in that project is different from the treatment of other. And everyone's supposed to understand. Yeah, so yes.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yes, that one everyone's supposed to understand. So therefore, when you hear the president is saying we should be treated equally, I think first of all we must understand why these countries are treated the same like this. It's not just about the risk assessment that you say, no, the grading, whatever this thing that is whatever they give.
The
rating.
Yeah.
It go beyond that. It even go to the point of ownership. Yeah, Germany is treated in that way because they are the owner, the main owner of that.
Yeah.
And if they decide not to give their contribution, it will cripple the IMF.
So it's actually the quota share we have in IMF.
Yes,
that determine how much you get. Interest rate you would get. Yeah.
You will be surprised that America does not even pay any interest rate because they contribute about 17%.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we can understand things from that point of view, then it will even save us from making political statements of things that will never change. Please, there are things that no matter what we say,
yeah,
because of the fundamentals, it will never change. We are just wasting our time. Maybe it's time for us to focus our energy on our creating our own financial institution that saves us, where we can have more shares in that financial institution. By the way, what is the African Development Bank doing? Is it not supposed to save?
Is there another way looking at that and looking at what the president's saying, and kind of like, okay, so you got the point.
She got the point, but it's time for us also to start looking at what is possible.
Mm.
In this world we are living, there are things that look not fair, there are things that are not justice, but there is nothing you can do. If you are smart, you need to find an alternative. This thing can happen, there's nothing I can do. There's just nothing I can do. What can I do to make my life better? Maybe it's time for us to think of coming up with our own institution or similar institution that serves the same purpose. Because that's one IMF, we should forget about changing the way they are doing their business, because that business model is working for them.
Yeah, but maybe the other argument we'll look at, that the reasons why you are capable to have a bigger share in IMF it's because you have also used our resources. You plundered our resources in the past, and it put you in that position. So it's just fair that you look at that as well.
Yeah, but remember, we have already signed agreement and whatever constitution that we have, that from now on, just imagine you sign that from the way we relate to each other from now on, please let us forget about what happened in the past.
Or even we are saying ourselves, we want you to treat us as equal.
No, just remember, look at the situation of land in Namibia. Just an example of land. When we got independent, we have, in our constitution, we say, yes, we know injustice has been done when it comes to land. But please, those who have acquired land through injustice, as from today, we are going to regard them as they have acquired legally. And nothing can be done. And after some time, you come back and say, we want to our land that was taken illegal. But forgetting that we have already signed that we should forget about that illegality of taking of land. It's exactly the same things. So yes, these guys, they have built their economy through our resources. But we have already come to the table and say, yes, we know, we acknowledge that. But for the sake of the future, let us forget about that. I don't know. Let us think of what we can do.
That's basically when I also think to say, look, we need also to fix our home first, you know, that we can we argue that we don't need global sympathy before we fix our own economic performance. We need to do that, So before we otherwise, even if rules change on a global level, and your house is in the mess, it doesn't help at all.
You know? Okay. Lastly, just few maybe 1 minute. We have our president, Her Excellency Dr. Netumbo. The president went to South Africa. The president attended the meeting, then she came. And she flies direct from South Africa to go and...
Just hold on that thought. We go quickly for a commission, then you can finish your point.
My friend.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Just to round up. Now, our president from South Africa ended up in, I don't know if it's Marita or Kate Marshall, for a party rally.
Yeah.
On government resources, which is not there, which is scarce.
Yeah.
Now, you ask yourself, if we, now we are demanding fairness from AMF. And then our president, instead of saying, okay, since this is a national, I went to South Africa on a national event, let us go to Windhoek. And from Windhoek, we use the party resources to come and campaign. That is not what Africa, it's not just here. It is not just Namibian president. It's African president. That is exactly what they are doing.
Yeah.
We are doing the things that are not supposed to be done by people who have the heart for the nation.
Yeah.
How long should we continue doing that? It's government resources. Yes, somebody will come and say, you cannot separate, the president cannot take off the cap of a president and become a citizen. Because that is what the constitution says. But can we challenge that constitution?
Yeah.
Where we say, when you are the president, when your cost of engaging in national activities, it's covered by the government.
Yeah.
But when it comes to your political event, you remove, if you want to go and be part of political event, you must be prepared to pay your own cost. Why can't we change our constitution to take into account that if we really, we mean what we are saying. You know, when it comes to fairness, yes, we can demand fairness from IMF. Somebody else will also come and demand fairness. Is that really fair from the little resources that we have?
Yeah. That's the point. No.
Okay.
Thanks, man. Thanks for your contribution and for coming through this morning. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. What is your take? 08-333-66091. 08-333-66091. Well, that's a different, that's actually a valid point, perspective. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, if you want to come through and have your perspective, your reaction, time is now. 08-333-66091. 08-333-66091.
Omudia, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She goes a fast and anana, long as she fat, ya, she became what she wanna. E. Moyao, or Tango got some money. Anna, she fat, ya, Namibia, on Bidom Banawa, or on Chica. Say, Sanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongeshi Fayo, Kupitramo, Ekele FM Media House. Go 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara on Pashi Pareki, we mopo, your more program, and the Moambo, Lengera Selma, Conarajeta Twim, Datunda Tu, Heri Hamano Tano, Oniaj, Ekele FM, the Eye.
Morning. Morning, Mike. Hello.
Hello. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. I'm here now.
So how are you?
Good, good.
Yeah.
How are we?
Well, we're all right. We're all right.
Okay. Okay, okay.
Back into our parliament, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where we are failing because we are lack of understanding and it's really messing things up because the argument is invalid.
Yeah.
So if you look at the political party, if the political party winning a government governance, so those politicians, they needed to promote in their party during the period of 35 years.
Yeah.
So I don't really see wrongdoing of president to abandoning the government car and go using his own car for on the party's activity.
But it's kind of like you're using government's resources to the party's activity. Why wouldn't you use the party's resources?
No, they are now a party. The party is a government now for that 5 years.
But you're given money specifically for the party, for the work of the party, isn't it?
In the party.
Yeah. No, the government give the political party money.
Yes, but that one now, I don't think there is any really policy that said the money that we give is for your president's party.
Not necessary for your president party, but it's for the use of your political party. When you have your political party activities, this is the money we've given you. Now, the government has given money to a political party, but...
I don't think there is something like that. Because,
political parties are given money by the government.
Yes. Yeah. All the political party, or which one now?
All of them.
Yeah, if they are all of them, they are getting the money activity on behalf of their... party activities.
Exactly.
That one, yeah, that one we understand. But them now to promoting that.
But the unfairness now that you're talking about is that, you know, you are given, all political parties are given money for their activity, but you're also using extra money for the government to do your political party activity.
Hey, I think in democracy, rule cannot be like that. Because if the politician coming in the ruling period of 5 years, and he doesn't have a car, but he are signing a car from the government, right? Through their party governance.
Yeah.
So how now they can abandon this car and using it for their and footing for his political party?
But is it fair though?
No, it's fair though.
That's a question. No. He talking about the question of fairness, because what you do is this. Okay.
No,
and this is it. And he mentioned that it is happening in Africa. It's happening all over in Africa. So he's not
talking about Namibia. We are not separating state and government. That is where I'm.
Yeah, no, that's something else. State and government is that's something else.
Yes. Because the government is on the hand of the party. Right?
Yeah.
In democracy, policy, the government is on the hand of the party. That we African are failing because of the governance transition. You understand? So because the risk that people are talking about is that when this liberation movement losing the election, they don't accept it. You understand?
Mm.
And that is where the problem of the IMF, World Bank, and the other bodies, European bodies, what. So those are now the ones that cannot be trusted into giving you money in the fairness of, while there is no fair referee, there is no fair players on the game.
Mm.
Yeah, that is where we are failing. That's why now, for us to prove that, yes, if we give the money through the political governance, and then that the politics lose, because the contract is the loan is for 10 years, and the period of governance is for 5 years.
Yeah.
So now, after the 5 years of your term, we will ask that money, end up losing, and the conflict come in the country. And then the military body taking over.
Yeah.
You understand now?
Mm.
They will be end up saying, no, we don't want the agreement that was happened between those one and this is
so,
a new...
So what are you actually saying? You're kind of agreeing with the IMF and World Bank risk assessment. It says because we're not sure, because in 10 years or 5 years... coup d'etat can happen, you know?
Yeah. You see, that is where they said there is no fair players in Africa.
Mm.
They are hiding behind the democracy. But if you look at them, the way they were defended, Samia.
Yeah.
She won with 97.8%. And we see almost 50% of those citizens were demonstrating.
Mm.
And there is another one that are now in prison, in political prison. So now, at the end of the day, if we're starting now prosecuting this, who is going to pay our money? We find this one guilty now of violating the democracy rules.
Yeah. Mm.
So those are the risks that if you don't have a fair player in the game, you cannot be including or you cannot declare as a winner. That is what we hear, even in here in Namibia.
Mm.
People are complaining about those political, well-connected, what, and those tenderpreneurs that they are making money through shady proposal.
Yeah.
So how in your country yourself, even president, when he's starting complaining about the parliament outcome, it's because there is no fair players in the parliament. There is no political players that they are there for the people. They are there for themselves. Right?
So they don't. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, because they don't have a vision. They don't have a vision that you can say, okay, you went into to changing that policy or that act or anything. So they are just here, and today is like, those are the things that the money was meant by fair players in the World Bank or in the IMF.
Yeah.
And then you give to those one whom they are not know the rules of the game.
Who, so, what? I'm not getting your point, your last point. Yeah.
So they got the money, right? The game was fair.
Yeah.
And then when you're including these people on the tournament, like now in politics of Africa.
Yeah.
We are comparing now Salami and those ones for Cameroon and others.
Yeah.
And Uganda, for example. There is no democracy in Uganda. You can see it yourself.
Mm.
So those are now the things that, what if one day these things change? People get fed up like they went on Sudan.
Yeah.
So do you think the money that was rendered by Sudan will be paid after this, when the country becomes stable?
Mm.
They will not, because the money is already spent. The development that was done, it was already vandalized.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can I pay something that is not over? So those are the problems that we have. We are not discussing okay, in Africa, like now in Namibia, no matter wanted to defend himself that, you know, we are playing a fair game. Okay, Europe now are complaining about Namibia, Angola and Zaire,
yeah,
and DRC.
Yeah.
For a there are political asylum that are coming from Namibia. And you are telling me that you are doing a fair game of democracy. Who are those people that are crossing your border every day? Those are the questions that you will not answer.
Mm.
Because you don't know them. You don't know whether they are happy with you. So, and those are the people that they said, you know, the money that you are lending to them, they are using on their own benefit. It's not a fair game. And yeah, the money needs to be fair, need to be clean. Eh? That is what they are saying. Even the bank, they are telling you, we need the money. We need resources that making this money.
Mm.
Decrying it that you are making money out of the mango, out of the what. That is a fair game.
Yeah.
But here, we asking money. At the end of the day, we are here the scandal of corruption. And you want somebody to giving you, to lending you money.
Yeah.
Well, I know you are not controlling corruption. All those things are doubted. That's why now those guys, they are starting to say, I don't need to listen to them because they are smooth talkers.
Yeah.
You understand?
Mm.
They writing up things that they copy and paste from Europe. You copying in the Scandinavian country and pasting into the DRC,
yeah,
in the African country.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that people are, you know, those guys who are now wandering around. That's why there was a time our founding president asked a question that these guys who are waking up early.
But is there, okay, the question is also, are there genuine progress within some countries that now this institution can look at and say, yes, there are progress, even if you are in the volatile region, so yeah, we need to treat you based on your reality. Shouldn't be that the case?
Yes. Zambia was one of them.
Mm.
Because a democracy transaction rule there, they changing about, in a decade, they changing about 5 different political parties.
Yeah.
So, and there was no conflict in Zambia. So that's why the financial lender of Europe, they come and advise in Zambia, and they're lending them money because of that, because of the transaction. But the doubting is still there for other countries.
Mm.
As I give you an example of Zimbabwe, for example, if you look at it, Zimbabwe, there is no political stable there.
Yeah,
that is the problem. No matter they say they are fair players in Africa, they are also giving playing a big role in corruption in other African countries like in Namibia here.
Mm.
So those are the problems that we say we are doubting to allow, because we are viewing in your parliament each and every day. So those people that are causing chaos in parliament, they are the future leaders. Do you think they will agree to our terms when we're lending the country money?
Yeah.
If they are doing that in the parliament.
Yeah.
So those are the issues that there are no really a good judgment that they can use to say Africa is a good country to play on. It's a really, really tough game for us. It's a really tough game
The other thing is, are we truthful to ourselves in a way where we can say what we communicate to the world would be the reality of how we want things to go, rather than actually just, you know, state what is not possible, if you get what my point.
Yes, yes. Mm. But if you look at our Madam President, she really wants game to change.
Yeah.
To be a fair players day.
Mm.
To including a fair players day.
Yeah.
But the people themselves, they don't understand the game.
Yeah.
So that is where the problem is. Because political threat is involved too much.
Yeah.
That is where the problem is. Because you are there because of me. I'm the one who funded you to be to campaign. And that is what is controlled outside the Madame Commission.
Mm.
Because you cannot control everybody. Look at what is you fired now, this guy. Because of somebody else, you are fired. So how now? People are not fired by themselves wrongdoing. It's by somebody's involvement.
Yeah.
So those are the honest that it will not come easily, because the players, they are not the one that is on the field. So that is where the problem is. Politician must be a politician. Business people must be a business people.
Yeah.
But if you are cutting them in one basket, Mike, Africa will not change.
Yeah.
Because everybody, when you need money, you are going to those guys. I need to be funded. I need to be what. And that is already involved corruption. Because if you promising this guy something that you will not know, you will not get it for free.
Mm.
So how will you do it? You have to steal. You have to sneak in. And those are the problems in the world. If you look at the stable, look at UK, for example. UK is not in good hand because of what?
Yeah.
Because the players, the politicians are not there. There is only business people that they are looking for their interest. And their interest is not in Europe. That's why they don't want it to be a part of Europe.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that you have everywhere. But in Namibia, Madam President wants to work.
All right.
To be honest.
Yeah.
And she wants to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for your contribution.
You're welcome, brother.
Great.
But...
Whoops. But I already pressed the button. Yeah. 08333-66091. We still have about 8 minutes before we cross over to Windhoek. And our focus today was basically looking at the First is the story. This is a story in the in today's edition of the Villager about the what our president actually said. The message the president sent a clear message at Johannesburg over the weekend. Global financial system, as you said, need to treat Africa and Namibia in particular based on the reality, not outdated perceptions. And some of you have come through and said, look, there are so much. This is not just simple as that. That's not the only criteria. There are other criteria that this institution are looking at. And unless we actually, you know, sort out some of those, this will be just, you know, it will be just a voice in the desert. You know, and and she's calling for fairness, transparency, and putting people at the center of development. So what is your take? What is your opinion, your contribution? We still have about 7 minutes, so you may come through. 0833-66091. So I'm gonna give you those minutes that left on for you to come through and have your say. All right. So the other things now, that we probably, and that some highlighted, it's also that, you know, we also have to look maybe at the broader, as I said, the broader implications, the bigger picture. Something need to be done because if there is a reform, Namibia could actually benefit. We could benefit from this in multiple ways. You know, if there is a reform, as I said, we could benefit in multiple ways, lowering borrowing, maybe the lower borrowing costs. So if something is being done, no matter how that will be done. But we need to start with somewhere. We need to start a conversation that, you know, there are certain things that we don't feel happy about. So maybe that would also help us for more investment, you know, in the country, and be able to actually develop and create the infrastructure that we need, faster our infrastructure growth, which we definitely need. Yeah. And possibly also, you know, more physical space for our social programs, health, educations, and so forth. So, yeah. But the opposite is also true. You know, if nothing happened, you know, debt crisis across Africa could worsen. And we have seen what happened to when countries lose access to capital market, you know. So what happened? Development stalled, projects stalled, you know, unemployment, you know, maybe that's where we are already, you know. That's why we have this higher unemployment. So sometimes with high unemployment, political instability also sometimes follows. So yeah, it's a conversation that we should have. Those in charge should somehow how to deal with that. So, and find a way. But as I said, conversation, need to start. All right. So 08, we still have about 4 minutes. You should be, maybe you want to be the last one. You want to be one to close off. 0833-66091. You are welcome to come through.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
All right, good morning. If you're just joining us, our time is about 58 minutes past the hour of 9, and we are about to cross over to the capital. We are about to go back to the capital for Kuthamosha with Tate France. So, now, the question maybe we can ask, you know, the one that maybe we need to continue discussing and converse wherever we find ourselves. Is it a time? Is it a time to demand, you know, or rebalance? So a rebalance financial order. Now, where now one, where Namibia's track record, our own track record, you know, count more than continental stereotypes. So that we are not just actually thrown into the same box, you know, like everybody. So, but we look at our own record, our own track record, and should be then looked at in that way. Or the other thing is also, should we focus on because like most of you saying, well, maybe we should focus on fixing domestic economic weaknesses as well. You know, there are other things that we aren't doing well financially and before challenging the global system. So yeah, those are some of the other views that I leave with you to discuss dissect in your corners wherever you find yourself. So yeah, and that brings us at 10 o'clock, right up the COP. And we moving to the capital. This is where now I say goodbye to you and hand you over, to someone who is really, really capable, coming up with another exciting, as usual, with an exciting, topic and discussion. Make sure that you stay tuned. And yeah, for the rest of the programs that are coming your way this morning and this afternoon, make sure you stay tuned. For me, Michael Chavelli, well, let's do this again tomorrow on a different topic. So it's a goodbye for now. I'll see you tomorrow.